You'll see some things begin to change in your life when you begin to make declarations in prayer. Amen. Than asking for. Stop asking for what you already have. Yes. If you're born again, God has opened all of heaven to you. Yes. It's accessible. It's not something you reach out for. It's within you. All you're asked to do, commanded to do, is to employ it. Yes. Use it. God's given you every tool in your toolbox. When we got saved, everybody got the same toolbox. Come on, somebody. You got all the bits, all the attachments already there. We just need to learn how to use them. Only one way to learn how to use them, and that's to declare the things of the Lord. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking until it comes to pass. We're not asking God to give us something that He already... God would not equip us and save us and then say, you're on your own. And when you need something, come and I'll see if I got it to give to you. He's made us kings and priests. How many know a king wouldn't be much of a king if he didn't have authority? The very properties of being a king and a priest means that we have authority. Even in the Old Testament, we see that. Nobody could approach the Holy of Holies unless you were a high priest. Come on, somebody. Any old Tom, Dick, and Harry couldn't go in the holy place. How many know you're welcome in the Holy of Holies? God doesn't let anybody in the Holy of Holies. Kings and priests He lets in the Holy of Holies. His children He leaves in the Holy of Holies. He lets us come in, go out, find pasture. Many people are defeated because they don't realize it's all about position. It's all about where we are fighting from. If we fight from a place of weakness, that's what we got. Pastor Brad spoke Sunday morning about, you know, getting excited for several weeks, and we reach a place, and I think one of the things that stops us is we get afraid. Because things begin to happen in the spirit, and we say, well, I'm not up for that. Maybe I'm not equipped for that. Let me tell you, that's the realm God wants you to live in. Amen. The realm of the miraculous. God did a good thing when He saved us. So we're going to get, we don't have any notes for up here. If she moves quick enough, I think Diane can catch me. But let's turn our Bibles tonight to Ephesians chapter 1. I want to talk about walking in the Spirit. And then we're going to end tonight a little bit different because we're going to make some declarations. Prayer is fine. Laying some hands on people is fine. But part of prayer that we don't do a lot is we declare, see? When we make declarations, then the enemy gets the idea he can't mess with us. Come on, somebody. Why is it that sometimes we feel strong? And I get it. We're together as a body. When the body comes together, we feel strong because we're all together worshiping the Lord. But how many know your strength comes from Jesus? When you're all alone in a battle, God has strengthened you to win that battle. God never gets the glory for us losing. Oh, they need me. My son Rick, he lost. He needs me. I'll come to the rescue. No, He's given me authority to be a winner. If I fall, I get up. He forgives me, all of that. Those provisions are made. It's all about position. Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians 1, 15. Therefore, see what it's there for. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Underline wisdom and revelation. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. How many believers do we have here? Power, dunamis, dynamite. that we have, God's given to us. El kaboom. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, just as a reminder, some of you old saints, you are part of the body of Christ. My Bible says that the enemy is under our feet. And he put all things under his feet. If we're part of the body, where is the enemy? It's all about position, saint. We're not asking God to put the enemy under our feet. He is under our feet. It's all about position. It's all about where we are in the Lord. If we allow the enemy to fake us and to chasten us and to hurt us, we do it out of our ignorance or out of our lack of faith. He's a defeated foe. Amen. Will he attack? You better believe it. Will the attacks get worse? You better believe it. But we win every time. Amen. It's all about position. The tactic of the enemy is for us to believe he has power to oppress, attack, and otherwise retard the forward motion of the kingdom. Nothing could be further from the truth. He has no power to retard anything. Come on, somebody. Are you awake? He has no power to retard anything. He has no authority to do anything. Any victories that he's had is because he's allowed to have victory. By who? By you and me. Jesus ain't going to allow him no victories. Paul is praying, a very important prayer. He prays that we have the spirit of revelation. Now, if you look at that word, just look at that word. The root word for that is to reveal. Revelation, to reveal. How many know God will reveal what the problem is in your life if you'll just ask him? Come on, somebody. Come on, you listening to me tonight? Turn over to Isaiah 58. Chase a rabbit, but it's a good rabbit tonight. Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah 58. 58. See, when we fast and pray as kings and priests, we're fasting and praying to loose bonds of wickedness in the earth, not in us. In us, we have the authority to bind and to loose. We get this idea that somehow the enemy can attack and tie us up, and then we fast and pray and break the bonds. We sing the song, break every chain, break every chain. That's what God did when he saved us, is broke every chain. Any chains that are there is because of our lack of faith and our weakness. Come on, someone. If you look in your toolbox, there ain't no chains in the toolbox. Isaiah 58:6, is this not the fast that I have chosen to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go, what?
Free.
And that you break every yoke.
Yeah.
Now, if you got yourself in a place where there's chains on you, you have the authority tonight to break those chains. You're not asking God to come break the chain. He's given you the authority to break the chain. Am I talking to the right people tonight? We function much lower than God ever intended us to. And it's not something that we work at. It's all about position tonight. You didn't win the position for you. Christ put you in that position. You didn't earn the position. You woke up in that position. Come on, somebody. You're a king and a priest, man. You got everything that it takes to walk in victory. When God comes and begins to move in our midst, we realize what our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, Paul says, is enlightened. And we get enlightened, and then we know that we have, when He begins to enlighten us and He begins to give us revelation, we realize what responsibilities now we have. And we get scared. Because now I've got no excuse. Now I've got the authority. Now I begin to bind and to loose and to walk and to talk like Jesus and having the enemy under my feet. And I walk in victory every day. But that's not a place we're used to. Religion tells us that can't happen. See, religion tells us we need a dose of Jesus to keep us. He needs to break more chains. The cross didn't get it. We need it. And I understand sanctification. I understand growing in the knowledge of God. But God made us free from the beginning. When I was born, I didn't become a human being. I was a human being. Just don't give me keys at 3 years old to drive the car. Come on, somebody. I'm all the human being I'll ever be, but I'm growing in the knowledge of how to act as a mature person. So I get that whole sanctification process. I get that we're on a learning curve. I get all that. But the position that God put us in is a position of victory. Complete. The Old Testament stories are there for us to learn, not to live under. We often talk about Daniel waiting 21 days because he waited 21 days because he was under the old covenant. He wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. He didn't have the authority. He didn't have the blood of Christ. Come on, somebody. He waited 21 days, so whenever, I understand about waiting on God, but the authority has been given the New Testament believer that Daniel never saw. God had to wipe a whole generation of children of Israel out so that they could take the land. Come on, somebody. We're so much like that generation. And I pray God doesn't have to wipe us out for the younger generation, and He may have to. We've been so used to being oppressed and beaten. We're painted into a corner. We can't make declarations. We can't pray. We can't save the unborn. We can't do anything in this nation. We've been under the principalities and powers for so long, we wouldn't even know when somebody talks to us about it. The church denies it. For Pete's sakes, 3/4 of the church denies there's any demonic activity. We're so much like that generation. Come on, somebody. God says, the only thing I can do is make you comfortable till you die. And your kids will go in and take the land. How many know we've lived in relative comfort? Come on, somebody. But it can change. And I believe things are going to change suddenly where we'll have to count on our maturity. We're not going to be able to count on Mr. and Mrs. Senator and Mr. and Mrs. Congressman. And come on, somebody. Suddenly, things will change. It's all about position. Look over in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. I want you to put your name beside there, because you are walking in the power of the Spirit, not in the power of the sons of disobedience. Look what it says. It's all about position. In which you once walked. Oh God, make me a good Christian. Put me in your light, God. He said, I already did that when you died and you came to life. You were born again. I brought you out of darkness and I put you in the kingdom of light. You're able to see all things. You're able to know all things. All of heaven's open to you. Start making declarations. The enemy has lied to us and religion has rocked us to sleep till we believe we're in the darkness. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. I like to call this next verse the divine but of God. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Man, we make declarations tonight. We're leaving here different than we came, folks. And it's like working with hardened clay. Oh man, you need the water of the Holy Ghost, because you just need to keep hitting it. It's going to take more than one teaching, more than one preaching for some of us, because we've left things get hard. We see it when God begins to move. You see people, oh man, wow, the Spirit of God moves so great today. Man, I never fell out. I heard somebody just several weeks, I never fell out in the Lord. I fell out, man, I was different. That's the realm God wants you to live in. I notice in Indiana, man, when it rains, everything floods. You think, man, that's a lot of rain. And 2 hours later, you can't find where it all go. We need to soak in the presence of the Lord, not just drib drabs. We need to soak in his presence and change the way that we conduct ourselves. It's all about position. We're not trying to earn something. We've already got it. Watch what it says. And raised us up together, verse 6, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. When we begin to talk about grace, we talk about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad he saved me. I was a sinner and now I'm a... But man, his grace goes much further than salvation. His grace, watch what verse 7 says, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us. For we are his workmanship, verse 10 says, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Created in Christ Jesus. I've challenged you before, but go through the writings of Paul, and every time it says in Christ or in the Lord or in Christ Jesus, underline it. Because that's where your position is. You're in Christ. And I want to know, who can touch us when we're in Christ? No one. Come on, somebody. It's all about position. So when I declare, when I declare the angels to worship, when I declare creation to worship, when I make declarations, I am winning back that authority. I am using the authority God gave me, that He gave Adam and Eve, to till the garden, take care of the garden. In the beginning, when God created man and woman, He said, take dominion.
Yes. Yes.
Sadly, we don't see much of the church having dominion. Back in the 1950s, back in the 20th century, mid-20th century, there was a few men that had a revelation of dominion that Christ gave us, and they ran with it, and it got skewered, it got off, because they began to think that they had dominion outside of Christ. It was dominion that was worked inside of them and not in Christ. It became manifest sons of God doctrine and went off on weird tangents. But God was trying to bring revelation, or revealing to the church our authority. And it's been lost now in many venues. But I believe God's bringing it back to us in this hour. No, He's doing that here at New Life. You need to learn to trust your leadership that's talking to you. Not because of who we are, but the position we hold. Speaking the word of the Lord. This is revealed truth so that you can walk in victory. Love to pray. Love to pray for you. Love to see God move on you. Laying on of hands, that's very important. That's strategically one of the most important doctrines of the New Testament church, is the laying on of hands. But also, a doctrine has been lost is making declarations, you doing it, and you seeing the victory in you. We have been made alive and are in union with Christ in verse 5. We are no longer under the dictates of the devil. The devil has nothing in me. He has nothing in me. That sounds good at 7:30 in the evening in a well-lit room with my brothers and sisters. At 2 o'clock in the morning, when the devil wakes you up with all kinds of lies, that's a little bit more difficult. Christian, come on. Raise your hand if you've ever been woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning and hearing all this stuff. It's the enemy doing his work. But it's then that you need to rise up within you, reach in your toolbox that God provided for you when you got saved. I bind you in Jesus' name. You have no authority in me. My God made everything new. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ. I'm filled with His Spirit. I've put the blood of Jesus on you. I remind you that God made a shame of you openly on the cross. You have no authority in my life. Get! And I guarantee, if it doesn't work, call me. 2 o'clock in the morning, call me. I'll come help you pray. But I guarantee you that it'll work. Because He's given you the same authorities He's given me. Listen, if He's given anybody more authority, He's unfair. You're not listening to me. We have a habit of exalting people. Oh man, that guy has the authority of the Lord on you, on him. Wow, that woman has the authority of God on her. You have the authority of the Lord in you. The same Jesus that exists in them exists in you. All you've got to do is... come on, somebody. We are no longer following, nor are we under the control of demons. No demon in hell controls me or controls my destiny or can affect me in any way, shape, manner, or form. Turn to somebody and say, he must be talking to you tonight. That's you. Demons have nothing over you at all.
That's right.
Man, it's all about position. He's under my feet. Now, if I'm not born again, if I've been faking it till I make it, I'm in trouble. I'm fodder for the enemy. And he's going to eat me up, chew me up, and spit me out because he knows I'm faking it. And I trust there's nobody in this room tonight that's faking it. You're faking it. You're playing a dangerous game, folks. That's why I pray for the church. I get so worried about our church, religion. People thinking they're going to heaven. They've been rocked to sleep. They're not born again. The enemy has wreaked havoc. They've ripped the word apart. They've redistributed the word. A whole denomination just recently said, we're taking all the he's and she's out of the Bible. Episcopalian church. No genders. Wonder what they do about that verse that says, cursed is he who takes away or adds to. I don't know what they do with that. Took it out. Did they? Probably. Listen to me, and here's key. Watch, verse 4 and 5. Look with me, please. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. We are no longer living with a corrupt and a sensual nature. Our nature has changed. I'm not bent toward sin. Been a while since I said this, but it's one of my favorite sayings. Sin should be more of a surprise than it is an expectation. I don't sin. Why? Because I'm righteous. Come on, somebody.
Oh, everybody has to sin. You're a sinner.
I was a sinner. I ain't a sinner no more. It's not my nature. My nature is now divine. I'm in Christ. No evil thing can exist in Christ. There's no sin in Christ. And if I'm in Christ, there's no sin. You want to get in a conversation with some denominational people, start that conversation. They accuse you of being a heretic. It's not about me. It's all about tonight. I'm just trying to impart something to you. It's all about position. It's all about who you are in Christ, where you are all the time, 24/7. It's not something you earn. It's not something you somehow, God today has got you there, and then you're here. You're in darkness, then in light, in darkness, and in light. You exist in the light. You're by nature a child of God. You're lights of the world. Sometimes I'm a dim bulb, but I am a light of the world. Come on, somebody. We have been given the life of Christ himself. The same life that quickened him exists in me. If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he shall quicken your mortal body. That's a big if. If you're born again tonight, the same life that quickened Jesus lives in you. We have been raised up together with him and seated with him, for we are in Christ. We show the Father's grace in our lives, immeasurable, countless, surpassing. Verse 7 says, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Oh, how heaven is looking for a generation that will believe him. If the church would ever apply this in concert, I've often said we'd have this whole thing wrapped up in 6 weeks. We'd change the globe in 6 weeks. If Christians would just be who they're called to be. Come on, somebody. We have been given the life of Christ himself. The same life quickens us. We have been raised up together. We show the Father's grace in our lives. We are his workmanship. We are ordained to walk in the works that Christ did before time began. God's not making it up as he goes. And this is a generation, man, I'm telling you. We are a generation. Just like the generation of Egypt. Man, we've lived so long under the power and the principalities in this world. We think they're more real than Christ is. I'm not saying we. Maybe that's not you. But I'm looking at the church in the United States, and we think somehow that we've got to ask permission to pray. That we've got to, you know, that we've got to submit to authorities that are evil. Maybe you do. I don't. I'm not going to submit to the laws that are against the laws of God. Lock me up. I'm just not going to do it. Come on, someone. God is looking for a generation of people who say, we've taken enough. We've taken enough. No more. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. See, and I'm not fighting people. I'm fighting principalities and powers. I saw it so clear the other night. I was in a school board meeting, Monday night. I was in a school board meeting. The room was packed. And we were talking about forgiveness. But it was a secular forgiveness. And I saw the principality so strong, I began to do warfare against it. It's a mindset. It's a screwed up way of looking at the world. I used to live under that. You know what I'm talking about? You ask anybody, you know, if you died, would you go to heaven? Well, I hope I do. I'm a good person. I never hurt anybody. Pay my taxes and raise my kids and take the dog out and clean the poop off the sidewalk. I'm okay. How many know that's a principality? It's permeated the church. Fake kind of love, the fake kind of... It's all about position, folks. And I realized that there wasn't a person in that room that wasn't a Christian. I hope other Christians sense it. It was so strong. It was overbearing. It's principality. Where did we ever get the idea that the devil has free access to us and that we must fight him for everything? Where did we ever get that idea? Devil's scared of you, man. He run like a... Resist him, and what he'll do? He'll flee. Flee. My Bible says he'll flee. He's scared of you. Where did we ever get the idea that we've got the big bad boogeyman? Man, he's going to attack, but as soon as he attacks, we take authority and he's won. He's lost. The biggest battle we will ever be in is the one right here between our ears. That's a big battle. We will walk in what the mind believes. What the mind believes, we conceive. What the mind concedes, we believe. Conceives. The devil, it sticks a thought in us. We're going along, mind our own business, and the devil says, man, look at the economy the way it is. You're going to lose your job. You're going to lose your house. We begin to speak that thing. Look at the economy the way it is. No, my trust is in God. First time God ever made that real to me. Can I tell a story? Personal story? Is that all right? First time that God ever made that real to me, I was so poor I couldn't afford to pay attention. My wife and I were sleeping in a double bunk. We were at the bottom bunk, and our daughter, our 15-year-old daughter, was sleeping in a bunk above. We were staying in somebody's bedroom. We had about $50 in a checking account. Anybody there? I was working for somebody in the church I was attending at the time, painting doors in the evening for a few bucks. And I'm bellyached, moaned. I told that story. We almost got in a fist fight with the guy that was driving the car. I told him to pull over, and he said, stop your belly aching. And I said, pull his car over, I'll knock your block off. And he pulled it. Pull the car over and get out. And I said, come on, we're going to go at it. He said, well, If I knock you down or you knock me down, when we're done knocking each other down, it's still going to be the same problem. So let's save the blood. So the Lord spoke to me, and I began to make some declarations. And I began to rebuke debt and the devourer. I began to rebuke it. Come on, somebody. In 2 years, I was completely debt-free. In 2 years, I made over $200,000. 2 years. I began to declare. I began to realize who I was. Terry and I began to make declarations in our home, which was a nice home, thank you very much, that we ended up in. Who do you identify with? It's all about position. Our identity is in Christ. Marching around cities and slaying the enemy is past. We don't need to march around a city. We just need to declare. The fear that the enemy will come and take what we have and put us in bondage is old covenant thinking. Turn over to Ephesians 4:17. 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding, verse 18, darkened. Ephesians 4:18. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Underline ignorance and blindness. Look carefully in your toolbox. It's not there. Ignorance and blindness is not part of what God has given you. That belongs to the sinner. It's all about position. Who, being past filling, have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. That used to be you. Well, Pastor Rick, I mean, you gotta go through some things, man. When you get saved, you start out crawling, you're a baby, and man, you've got the enemy can steal the young sheep and blah blah blah. Go tell Brandon that. Afterwards, go tell Brandon. Say, hey, Brandon, man. You're still crawling. He's a new creation. It's a new creation. I've seen some victory in him.
Hallelujah.
Drives me to jealousy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Come on, somebody. That's how we all need to be. Do not walk in the lies perpetrated by the enemy. And do not walk in the lies of unanointed teaching. Beware what you take in. I'm very careful what I listen to. Sometimes I get chastised for it. Man, you know what? Why didn't you hear that? I'm very, what I take in my spirit. Come on, someone. We are not alienated from the life of God. We are partakers of the divine nature. It's all about position. We are a new creation. We must remember that and get back to the walk ordained for us from heaven. We are not struggling for victory. We already have it. If you're taking notes tonight, number one, we have power. We have power. That power exousia, E-X-O-U-S-I-A, exousia. But we have this treasure, 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. The power belongs to God, but He lets us use it. What was that? Oh, that came from back there. I thought it came from here. I was about ready to rebuke this iPad. We have power. Number two, we have overcome the enemy. Past tense. We're not overcoming, we are overcomers. Say that. I am an overcomer. I'm not overcoming the enemy, I have overcame him. I have overcome the enemy. Past tense. You don't believe me? 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Listen to what it says. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I just had a picture of Jason Honey whenever I had came home from work and had a terrible headache, and my son was about 4.5, 5 years old, laying on the couch, and I'm complaining. He says, "Well, can I pray for you, Daddy?" "Sure, honey, you can come pray for me." You know, nice little boy. He's over and laid hands on my head and said, "Jesus, heal my daddy's headache." Took his hand off my head, and it was gone just like that. Bam. I was like, come back here and pray for me again. We are called to do greater works. We're not struggling for victory. We already have it. "Most assuredly, I say to you," Jesus said in John 14, "he who believes in me, the works that I will do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." In parentheses after that verse, this is only for fivefold ministry people. It's what it says in my... Come on, somebody. He who believes in me. Do you believe in Jesus? It's all about position. If you believe in him, then you believe what he did. And what he did was put you in him. He says, it's not going to work if you just follow me. And you're out there and I send you, and no, when you go, you're going in me. When you come, you're coming in me. It's all about position. Amen. Number four, we have been given authority over the enemy. Authority, dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S, dynamite. "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Now, he's either a liar or he's the Lord. We're getting ready to make some declarations. Wake up. If I put you to sleep, wake up. All authority. Means I'm not putting up with this stuff anymore. I'm not putting up with sleepless attacks. I'm not putting up with you wrecking my sleep or wrecking my relationship or wrecking my finances or wrecking my life. That's the end of all that. I have taken the authority that God gives me, and I want all you give me, Lord. I'm not afraid to have all you give me. Because God wants to pour his Spirit upon us. Well, he wants us to walk in realms that we just touch and taste. He says, that's where I want you to live. Number five, we have the power of the resurrection within us. I quoted a little while ago, Romans 8. "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Number six, we are overcomers. "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." We have the authority to loose and bind, number seven. Wow. What does that mean? We bind demons and loose angels. "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." We have weapons at our disposal that will assure victorious living. You know, the biggest weapon that you have in your arsenal and your toolbox is praise and worship. Fill your house with it. Fill your life with it. Praise and worship. God inhabits the praises of his people. He manifests. Giving is another weapon that you have. give yourself out of trouble. Come on, somebody. You can never outgive God. Turn to somebody and say, you can never outgive God. I've tried it. It don't work. Your disposal right here is the Word of God. You have authority. You have victory. The Word of God. If you're wondering what to say, you can quote any verse and it's got the authority to have you have victory. I want somebody. Just open the Bible and begin to read. You have a weapon called the Word of God. You have a weapon called Holy Spirit. He lives in you. He wants to speak through you. When you pray in the Spirit, you're praying heavenly language. You're praying creative language. Pray in the Spirit over your problem. Pray in the Spirit over your fear. Pray in the Spirit over the things that shouldn't be in you at all. Pray over them. The Holy Spirit knows how to get rid of them. And He knows how to attract the power and the anointing of God that's in you to rise up within you. You have a powerful weapon in your arsenal, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't waste it. Don't speak it frivolously. Speak it in the name and the power of Jesus Christ. You have the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus avails for all sickness, sin, disease, curse. You have angels. Father, dispatch angels to my home. Father, dispatch the angels around my relationship, in my job, in this country. Angelic hosts that are amongst us right now, just waiting for us to command. They assist us. Your mouth is a weapon.
Amen.
Man, say that louder. We are children of our Father. He spoke and created the worlds. We speak and create and destroy. You have a weapon in your arsenal, and it's called declarations. Begin to make declarations. Stop begging God and make declarations of what you already have. Don't beg God for something that's already in your toolbox. Your testimony is a powerful, powerful weapon. The enemy attacks you, you tell him who you are in Christ. Win the battle of the mind and you will walk in victory. Every temptation known to man is first presented to our mind. This is the biggest battle that we'll ever fight. I fear lest somehow as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Satan's strategy is to attack our mind with full force. It's possible to have a new ear and a new life, but an old head. We filter stuff through the old head. We buy the lie that the enemy has any authority at all. Who controls my mind? My mind is controlled by me. It's not controlled by any outside force. It's controlled by me. So we're going to make some declarations tonight. It's all about position, see? And whatever you're asking God for, God may be laying something in your heart right now, something that you desire. Your desire is to walk in the next level with God. God so much wants you to grow in Him. You don't have to ask permission to come up. Come on, somebody. You don't have to, He's already seated you there.
Yes.
Just walk in it.
Yes.
Put your big boy pants on, big girl pants on. Walk as mature believers in Christ. I don't care how long you've been with Christ, when you begin to exercise His authority, things change in your life. Terry and I begin to enact this. We forgot some things, admittedly so. You know, one of the things that we all face is life. You got 24 hours, and within that 24 hours is habit. And we fall back in default. Life just comes at us. We need to stir ourselves up. Stir the gifts in us up. Refuse to walk in that same old doldrum way. God, we want all of you. God, we want all of you all the time. Because one day when we pass from this world to the next, it'll be all Him. It's all Him now. We just need to walk in it. So let's make some declarations tonight, shall we? Come on, help me now. We declare tonight that we are the sons and daughters of the living God. We declare tonight that God has given us all authority and all power over the enemy. We declare tonight that we are no longer unrighteous. We are no longer sinners. We are no longer slaves of sin. But we have won. We have the victory. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Come on, say it. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have every spiritual blessing. I'm raised up together with Him and seated with Him in heavenly places. I have no chains. I have no shackles. I walk in victory because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He has delivered me from the domain of darkness and set me in the kingdom of light. And I have love. I have joy. I have peace. I have long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness. Come on. I have the fruit of the Spirit. I walk as a child of God. And I take authority over whatever you're taking authority over tonight, physical ailments. I take authority over them in Jesus' name. I'm no longer going to be under these things. I make a declaration and I'm walking in the fullness of God. I'm walking in your fullness, God. Come on, come on, come on. I'm free. I'm free. My nature is divine. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we make declarations tonight, God. Thank you for the freedom that we're in. It's all about our position. Lord, the enemy is under our feet. God, we gladly take the kingship that you've given us and the priesthood that you've given us, and we make declarations over this world. We're not going to be under the circumstances. We're going to be walking above the circumstances. In Jesus' name.